Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't have any financial responses or relationships to disclose. Lyme disease is a multi-systemic disease, meaning it affects multiple systems of the body, which is caused by the spirochete bacterium shown on the right, Borrelia burgdorferi. It is spread through the bite of an infected deer tick, one of the main species being Ixodes scapularis, seen on the left. Lyme disease is the most common vector-borne disease in the United States to date. It accounts for 20,000 to 30,000 confirmed cases reported to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention each year since 2002. In fact, in 2013, just last year, it was the fifth most common nationally notifiable disease. We know that surveillance does provide valuable information regarding the distribution and trends of the disease, but it doesn't capture all cases. As of 2008, we've been capturing both probable and confirmed cases. We do have suspect cases, which are based on the CSTE, the Council for State and Territorial Epidemiologist definitions regarding the disease. We do know, based on the numbers, the highest incidence is shown in the Northeast United States and Upper Midwest, specifically Minnesota and Wisconsin. During the summer months, there's a great spike. Most cases happen during that time. And among males aged 5 to 9 years, males overall tend to be diagnosed, or at least in our surveillance, captured more often than females. Common symptoms, depending on how severe the disease is, are skin rash, which is the classic erythema migrans bullseye rash, which happens to be in about 70% of patients, depending on the region that you are diagnosed. Arthralgia, joint pain. Myalgia, muscle pain. Neurologic symptoms, or fatigue and malaise. The Infectious Disease Society of America, IDSA, has treatment recommendations. These are used by all physicians, insurance companies for treatment of Lyme disease. This came out in 2006 and was reaffirmed in 2010. Doxycycline is one of the more common medications, which falls into the group of medications called tetracyclines. Amoxicillin, which is a penicillin, and also cephalosporins, which are typically used with nervous system involvement in this case because many of them were IV fluid use. The objective of this study was to describe the epidemiology of Lyme disease diagnoses as determined by two national ambulatory care surveys. The two surveys used were National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey and the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey. These are collected by the Department of Health and Senior Services. Years 1993 to 2010 were used, so both data sets could be combined. 2010 is the most recent publicly available data. The top survey collects a nationally representative survey of employed office-based physicians, and the bottom survey looks at emergency and outpatient visits. This study, what I did was extract all cases with an ICD-9 code for Lyme disease among three possible diagnoses, and later I'll show the primary versus secondary or tertiary diagnosis. Descriptive statistics shown were done using weighted analysis based on region and other factors, and chi-square tests comparing proportions by age, gender, and season are shown. Only significant results will be described in this presentation. All of this was done using SAS 9.4. The data items described include patient characteristics, practice setting, and visit characteristics, which include the primary, secondary, tertiary diagnosis, other common diagnoses, reasons for visit, or also the medications described before. The total sample from 1993 to 2010 was 357 observations. This accounts for about 5.5 million total visits for Lyme disease during the study period, with an average of 303,000 visits per year. The mean age of persons, or at least the visits, would be 36.6 years, ranging from 0 to 88 years. When breaking it into age groups, we see that the most frequent group would fall into 18 to 44 years, making up 37% of the Lyme disease visits. There is 95% confidence interval shown next to the proportions as well. Another great proportion was shown in 45 to 64. This is expected given general Lyme cases. However, gender showing 66.6% of all visits is a little abnormal, given that the surveillance shows that incident cases mostly are males. Race ethnicity, 95% being non-Hispanic white. Other race groups could not be reported due to the unreliable estimates. The most common practice setting, the type of setting, was physician's office, which is not surprising. 91% of them. But outpatient visits accounted for about 5%, and emergency department visits were 4% of the sample, after weighted analysis. Significant chi-square results show that a higher proportion of females visited physician's office than male, about 92 versus 89%. Not much of a difference, but it was statistically significant. We did see also that males were more likely, with a higher proportion, to have more visits to an emergency department, making 6.6% of males versus 2.6% of females. Also, outpatient ED visits, there was a higher proportion during the summer months. So of all visits during the summer, 13.7% of them were in an outpatient or emergency department, versus during fall, spring, or winter, we saw that 6.9% of the proportion fell into the outpatient emergency department visits. If you look at the percent of outpatient visits by region for Lyme disease during this time, you see that the overwhelming proportion fell into the Northeast, with making up 78% of all visits, followed by the South, 13.1, and Midwest, 7.3, which is a bit surprising given that most cases are in the Northeast and the Midwest, being Minnesota and Wisconsin. However, here we can see in the next that many cases fall in Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware. Using the census data, it does fall into the South in this case, as you can see in the 2010 reported cases for Lyme disease, where all of the cases, incident cases, fell. So it does seem to hit that trend. Regarding the season, the highest proportion was summer, as expected, 34.1% of the sample. However, many of the other seasons had high proportions, with fall and winter, 28-21%, and also spring. This is a bit surprising given most cases do happen during summer. Regarding Lyme disease diagnosis, 63.4% of visits fell into the primary diagnosis of Lyme disease. Secondary and tertiary made up 36% of visits. Other frequent diagnoses falling into the ICD-3 codes, musculoskeletal connective tissue disease making 17.9% of visits, and also ill-defined condition being 17%. A significant chi-square was seen for a higher proportion of those aged 40 years or younger with a primary diagnosis of Lyme disease versus those who were greater than 40 years old. 71% of those visits fell into the primary diagnosis versus 55%. Here's a chart showing the percent of outpatient visits for Lyme disease by the reasons for visit or symptoms during the study period. This mimics typically what we would expect in surveillance, with arthralgia and myalgia making up 27% of visits, neurologic symptoms about 17% close to, insect bite and skin rash, however, 14 and 12.6% are a little less than expected, given 70% of incident cases have the skin rash. Fatigue, malaise, headache, and what is coded as other infectious and parasitic disease was also shown. Regarding the types of medications that were coded, they had to be put into different groups. As described before, the most common being tetracyclines like doxycycline, 26.3% of visits fell with this. The bars within show the 95% confidence. Cephalosporins made up 14.5%, many of them reporting IV usage, which is indicative of a later stage Lyme disease. Penicillins also, many of them IV, 12.3%, and analgesics, whether that be that's a pain medication, whether that be a non-steroidal or steroidal pain medication. This is an interesting finding. Regarding chi-square analyses, we saw a high proportion of those aged 40 years or older on or prescribed tetracyclines versus those who are younger, 31.5% versus 21.3%, and a higher proportion of those who are younger, less than or equal to 40 years, on or prescribed cephalosporins, 22.1% versus 6.7%. This was the most significant difference seen. And the last difference was the higher proportion of males on or prescribed tetracyclines versus females, 34.9% versus 22.1%. And remember that 66.6% of the sample fell into the female category. What we saw overall was age, race, ethnicity, and region distribution was similar regarding the surveillance estimates. The older population was more likely to have a second or third diagnosis listed, which was an interesting finding. High proportion of females was different than incident cases for Lyme disease reported to the CDC, given that Lyme disease is reported nationally more often in males. We also saw that physician office visits were the most common, but males were more likely to use the emergency department or outpatient department than females. We did see more visits in spring, fall, and winter than national surveillance data would suggest, with summer accounting for 34% of the sample. This indicates that it's possible that these are more follow-up visits in later stage cases of Lyme disease than the initial incidents. Arthralgia, myalgia, and neurologic symptoms were similar to surveillance data, but there was less skin rash than expected, 13% rather than about 70% of the cases. Cephalosporin, penicillin, and pain medication use may also indicate that this is later stage cases being captured by this national surveillance data. There are limitations to disclose, first being this is a cross-sectional study design, so it's a snapshot in time for each year. This captures discharges, not patients, so these account for visits overall, not individual people. The ICD-9 code includes both overdiagnosis and underdiagnosis. Over the years, the case definition has varied a few different times, and this is subject to a physician's diagnosis, not necessarily the case definition used in surveillance. Also, given the low sample size for different years, we are not allowed to do additional comparison, specifically temporal analyses. So in conclusion, the NAMCS and NHAMCS may be capturing the later stage outpatient visits for Lyme disease. Because we saw less visits in summer, less skin rash symptoms, musculoskeletal disease, and ill-defined condition diagnoses indicating they may not know exactly what's going on with the patients, cephalosporins, penicillins, and the pain medications, the analgesics. In general, the Lyme disease population may be underrepresented in this survey, just because we're not capturing those initial stages. These are my references. Thank you.